Well, after the service, be sure and thank Glenn Ailey for knocking 10 minutes off the sermon with his psalm introductions. They were dead on. Excellent. Turn in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 4, page 1557. Mark chapter 4, page 1557. And if you're an astute observer of our sign out front, as my wife is, you'll notice that the sign tells you that the fruit is at College Hill. The top line says, "Where's the fruit?" The bottom line says, "At College Hill." One is the sermon title this morning. The other one is the directions to tonight's worship service. On page 1557, Mark chapter 4, there's another answer to that question. So let us look together at Mark chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are sown among the thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown in the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket and under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, and nothing is secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Well, I remember very well in my childhood how I used to love walking through the fields, the woods, the barnyard areas of the farm I grew up on. But one track I particularly loved to make was out the back of the house, through the calf and cow pens, down through the wooded hill, past the pond, up the next hill, and down into the second valley on the other side, some 3/4 of a mile out. Because in that second valley, there was a grove of trees along a winding stream. And in the center of that grove of trees, there were 4 or 5 apple trees. And my brothers and I, would trek all the way out there to get some juicy, choice apples. Unfortunately, as young boys, we weren't the most aware of the idea of seasons. And so we would trek out to the grove of trees and go looking at the apple trees and go, where's the fruit? And the walk was for nothing. Where's the fruit? My friends, Jesus Christ knows your families. He knows your church. He knows your life, and He knows the seasons of your life, your family, your church. And I wonder, does He walk among us sometimes and think to Himself, where's the fruit? It's a hard question, isn't it? It's a difficult question to imagine Christ asking of us. But does He walk among the days of our lives? Does He walk in our homes? Does He walk through our churches and think to Himself, where's the fruit? He knows the seasons. He knows when to expect fruit. But is He asking you this morning, where's the fruit? Where do we find the fruit? Well, Mark 4 gives us that answer. It says that if you saturate yourselves in the Scriptures, you will bear much fruit. It says that the Word of Christ is the seed that bears much fruit. So my friends, this morning, take to heart the message of Christ in His parable. Saturate yourselves with the Scriptures, for by them you will bear much fruit. Let's look at the reason, first of all, for why there are even parables. Psalm 78 said that Christ would come and He would speak in parables. Well, in Mark 4, He gives us the reason. Why does Christ speak in parables? Verse 9, He begins. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when He was alone, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parables. And He said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Christ speaks in parables to both conceal the truth and to reveal the truth. He has both purposes in mind. He goes on at the end of our story in verse 21, is a lamp brought in to be put on under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. So He tells in secret a truth. He tells it in a parable. It's a cloak. It's a garment. It blinds the eyes. It covers the ears so that some cannot hear, that some cannot understand. And yet that very same truth is intended to be revealed, is intended to be displayed and made manifest. Christ is speaking simultaneously in secret and in the open. Because there are some who will not hear. He says in verse 9, if you are willing to hear, we'll come listen. If your heart is inclined to hear the words of Christ, then He invites you. Come listen. Come hear the words of Christ. But for those who are not willing, it's a parable. It's confusing and misunderstood. This too is a hard teaching. This too is a hard thing. For imagine Christ, the only Savior, the only way of salvation, coming to earth, walking among men and saying, this truth isn't for you. I speak to you the truth of salvation. If you would reach out and touch it, you would be free of your sin and have eternal life. And this precious truth that He holds, He masks it. And He covers it over so they can't see it or hear it. This is a hard thing. This is a hard truth. And I wish I had a good explanation for you this morning. I wish I had this gem of theology that I could just render from systematic theology and say, here you are.
but I don't have one. I just don't. Because I don't get it either. Because I don't understand it. But I submit to it. You see, when you were children and your parents disciplined you, did you ever look up and wonder, why? Of course. A child, in its childlike ways, cannot understand the complex love of a parent. But how many of you have become parents and now can answer why? Because you understand the complicated love of wanting to instruct and discipline a child. Well, how is it that we as creation think we could understand the reasons of God if we're not God? If it took you becoming a parent to understand the discipline of your parents, then it just might take divinity for you to understand the divine reasons for Christ's actions. My friends, we don't fully understand this. We don't get it all. And that's okay. Submit to this truth. Christ comes, and this truth isn't for everyone. Hearts are hard and ears are stopped and eyes are made blind that they don't understand the truth of the gospel. Because if you accept that, then you get the other side of the picture. He reveals. He both conceals and reveals. He says to the disciples, those outside, everything is in parables, but to you is the secret of the kingdom of God. To you, the message is yours. He wants them to get the message. He wants them to wants them to understand the message. He wants to make it known to them. On August 12th of every year, I want Lydia to get the message. It's our anniversary. I want her to get the message. So I will communicate it to her in every way possible. I'll show it. I'll illustrate it. I'll speak it. For the rest of you, I'm not terribly concerned if you get the message on August 12th. It's not for you. It's for her. In the same way, Christ walks among the world and he hides his message in parables saying, it's not for you. And then he comes to his disciples and he says, it's for you. It's for you. One last point along these lines. You are not the judge of those who are blind and those who see. It is not our responsibility to choose who will understand the parable and who will not. We proclaim the truth of Christ openly, boldly to everyone. We do not hold back our truth. Christ in his deity, Christ in his perfection could understand these things. We do not. So we do not keep silence. My friends, he wants you to get the message. He wants you to share the message. He wants you to proclaim this message. But what's the message? What is the message of Mark chapter 4? What is the message of Jesus' parable? Well, it's four parts. Part one, some are robbed by Satan. Some are robbed by Satan. Look at verse 4. And he sowed some seed along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Jesus explains in verse 15. And these are the ones sown along the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes along immediately and takes the word that is sown in them. So the parable, to which people are blind, seed tossed along a path, just tossed out there, and the birds devour it, and it's gone. But the parable revealed to you, the disciples of Christ, the message he wants you to get. Satan walks the earth, seeking someone to devour, says Peter. And he walks the earth, and he reaches into the heart and into the mind. And he snatches the seed of the scriptures. And this is the message for the disciples. This is the message for the followers of Christ. This is Christ's message to you. Satan walks among the disciples. And he snatches the word of Christ up. We have a bird feeder in our front yard. We like to sit on our front porch and watch the birds come through. There's one particular bird that's entertaining. A large black bird. He swoops in. He drives all the other birds off. And then he just walks around the bird feeder, eating occasionally and just spilling seed all over the place, making as big of a disaster as he can. It's an illustration of Satan at work. He has no interest in the Word. He has no interest in actually understanding the Scriptures and living them out in righteousness. He comes in and he snatches the seed for your own harm, not for his good. It's a destructive act. And my friends, it's Christ's message to you. Is this you? Is this you? Do you hit the double doors in the back of the sanctuary and that fast the message is gone? Do you put your foot on the pedal in the car in the parking lot and that fast the sermon is forgotten? Do you fold your Bible shut every morning and that fast the chapter or two that you read is gone? Is the seed snatched from your ears and from your mouth? Is the seed snatched from your mind and from your heart even before it's planted? Do you meditate on the sermons you hear? Do you meditate on the Scriptures you read? Do they live inside of you with a deep root? Or does Satan own the Scriptures in your life? He's happy to superficially flip through the pages. He's happy to hear you sit for a half an hour, so long as you forget by the time you hit the foyer. So long as you forget the moment the Bible is closed. Is Satan controlling your Scriptures? My friend, does he snatch the seed from your heart? Is this you? Is this you? But secondly, there are some people who fall away because of hard times. Look at verse 5. Other seed fell on rocky soil, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun arose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Again, Christ explains this in verse 16. These are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. These are people, again, who sit in pews, who submit to the Scriptures, who read them and consider them. And they find joy in the Scriptures. They read them, they think on them, they hear them preached, and it brings joy to their heart. And they indeed rejoice in the Scriptures. And it is sweet to them. And they meditate on it, but not fully. It does not find a root in their heart. They're faithful to read the Scriptures morning after morning. They're faithful to open them in their family time. They're faithful to come and hear them preach. But there's no root in the heart. It's a shallow soil. There's rocky soil so that the roots don't sink deep and take ownership in the heart. So that the Scriptures don't possess the mind and possess the heart. This is not a person thinking the thoughts of Scripture or speaking the words of Scripture. It's shallow roots. They superficially flip through the pages. And that's all there is to it. And what happens to such a person? What happens to someone who's faithful in worship, faithful in their private devotions, faithful in family worship, but only superficial in their reading of Scripture? The sun scorches and they fade away. They lose faith. They lose hope. They lose that joy that they had. You want to see this? When you leave the church, look at the backyard of the parsonage. The soil there is extremely thin. Half the lawn is brown because it's choked by the sun. Because the sun, the south sun, passes the house in the afternoon and it just lights up that backyard. And the grass has no hope. It's scorched and it's brown and it's crusty. There's no life in it. No vitality. It can't endure the persecution. And this is Jesus' message to His disciples. Is this you? Is this you? When you read the Scriptures, when you hear the Word preached, do you meditate on it? Do you pour your life into it and examine your thoughts and your feelings before it? Do you think to yourself, how do I live this? How do I think this? How do I feel this? Do you pour yourself into the Scriptures? Do you pour the Scriptures into yourself? Or is it a superficial flipping through the Scriptures? Is it a reading them because that's what I do? Because that's what's required of me? Or is this life itself? Do you give it the chance for roots to sink deep and take hold? Well, Christ goes on, and there's a third one. And there's a third one that gets even closer to home. Perhaps you're the one where the seed is snatched quickly from you, and there isn't the time to meditate on the Scriptures. Perhaps you're the one with the shallow soil where you spend the time, but it doesn't take deep root. Perhaps there's a third. Some suffocate under the weight of worldly concern. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Jesus explains this one in verse 18. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Unfruitful. These are people who are distracted and disengaged from the work of Christ, who have their attention and their priorities convoluted and misdirected. My friends, this is perhaps of all the easiest of the traps. Who is your master today? Who owns your time? Think on your week. Where is your energy and your strength poured out? Is Christ your master? Is His Scriptures your delight? Or are the cares and the concerns of this world strangling what spiritual vitality you might have otherwise had? My friends, do you open the Scriptures and read through them? Do you hear them preached in your midst only to find bills and mortgages and house projects and jobs and bosses and family members sucking from you life and strength and energy? Are the cares of the world suffocating you? Do you feel barely afloat, wandering through life somewhat aimlessly, wondering, how does this mountain move? How does the weight get off my shoulders? My friends, it's because you're facing the wrong direction. The cares of this life don't fall away because you work harder or earn a bigger paycheck. The cares of this world don't fall away because you invest harder in them. When you let the sovereign Lord, whose strong hand you heard about this morning, when His hand is the one caring for your life, how much better does He do? How is His work in your life? Is His efforts not far superior to your own? Can he not pay your bills better than you? Can he not cover your job better than you? My friends, Christ said, if you seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, then what? All these things will be added to you. What things? Well, if you look in the context, it's what you wear, it's what you eat. It's the cares and the concerns of this life. My friends, they can suffocate you and choke you. You know it and I know it. You live it every day. Be free. Be free. And the freedom starts with the Scriptures by setting forth and first the Scriptures in your life. When they own you, when they dominate your time, when they dominate your thoughts and your feelings, the rest of it falls in line and it makes sense. And if you do that, then you are the fourth soil. Are you the soil where the seed is snatched from your heart before it does anything? Are you the soil that superficially glances through the text? Are you the soil that allows the cares and worries of life to choke the Scriptures? Or are you the fourth soil? In verse 8, he speaks of this soil. And the other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. He explains this one in verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. My friends, that little word, those that hear the word and accept it. And accept it. It's one word in the English, but it packs a punch. It's the one word that changes three different soils into one soil. It's the one word that makes the difference. Do you accept it? Is it the truth of God? Then why does it get second place billing in your life? Is it the Word of the living God? Bread by which you live. Water by which you are nourished. Then why does it get second place? Why does it get neglect and collect dust on your shelves? Then why is it superficially tossed through and then put away? Why is it not meditated on? Why is it not cherished? My friends, think on this today. Think on this week. Where's the fruit? Can Christ walk among us and say, where's the fruit? Where is it? Where are the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5? Where are they in our lives? Where's the fruit of offspring, of young ones in the faith? Do they sit in our pews? Do they hear the Word? Do they repent and turn to Christ? Where's the fruit? My friends, let's not strive harder to perfect ourselves in all these things of life. The cares of the world, the concerns. Let's not strive to perfect ourselves in all of this purity and righteous living if we can't get right first our time in the Scriptures. For they bear the fruit that Christ wants. For they are the seed and the word that we need. No raising hands. Just thinking in your hearts. How many days this week had family worship? How many days this week had personal worship? How long did it last? How did it feed your soul? How were you convicted of sin? How were you brought to repentance? How did you see Christ in His glory this week? How did you taste the sweet salvation that's yours? How did you conquer sin and walk in righteousness and holiness? Is it there? Is the evaluation there? Do you say with Christ this morning, Lord, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit in my life? Then answer me this. What do you do in your personal worship? What do you do in your family worship? What do you do when I am finished? And you have your notes and you have your thoughts. What will you do with them? Where will you take them? Where will you think on them? And my friends, week to week, there is a meeting at the Schaefer's house. There is a meeting at the McLean house. There is a women's study. If you're not in one, get in one. They're Bible studies. They're times to invest in the Scriptures. If you're not in one of those three, join them. If you don't like those, no offense, make your own. Make your own. But my friends, let it be this. Yes, it takes sacrifice. Yes, it takes time and energy. I lead one too. I know the weight that it takes, but it's worth it, friends. It's worth it. This is the seed that bears fruit. What a terrible thing to think of Christ walking among us and saying, "Where's the fruit?" Please, saturate yourselves in the Scriptures, for by them you will bear much fruit. Which soil are you this morning? What will Christ say of you? You know, he had an experience much like mine. He once walked into Jerusalem and he passed a fig tree. And it was the season for fruit. And there were no figs. He cursed the tree and it died. He cursed the tree and it died. My friends, saturate yourselves with the Scriptures. For by them you will bear much fruit. Saturate yourselves with the Scriptures. For by them you will bear much fruit. Let us pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you this day for your precious Scriptures. Write them upon our hearts. Write them upon our minds. Fill our lives, Father, with your word. May that seed have deep root in us. Saturate us, Father, with the Scriptures. That we would think like the Scriptures. That we would speak like the Scriptures. That we would feel and act like the Scriptures. Make us, Father, a living word. That Christ would be glorified. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.